Take a break after we sing all those exuberating songs and just enjoy being able to share together in those good songs. Appreciate that very much. Our theme this month, as we've been looking at different themes throughout the year, is trying to renew the holy character of the saint. The lesson really is about renewing ourselves in 22, renewing 2022, because we've been needing some time to get away from all of the things that we've been doing in the past. And so each month we've been looking at different aspects of renewal. And this week we're going to be looking at the need of renewing ourselves and renewing the holy character of the saint. And it really means what it says, that there is a need as saints of God. We need to always remember that we are saints of God and that we share in that wonderful relationship that God has allowed us, that, you know, we need to focus on our character, that we need to always re-examine ourselves and to see the kind of character that we are before the world and also before God. And the idea that God has always had of his people, actually from the very beginning, is that while we live in the world, we are not to be of the world. We're to be separate from the world. That was true, really, from the very beginning, that God wanted Adam and Eve to just be his, and yet they decided to listen to the wile of the devil. And so the world was destroyed because men no longer called upon the name of the Lord. They went after the world. And the struggles that we have as Christians is trying to remember that we are blood-bought people, we are Christians, we are saints, we are children of God, and we are not to live like the world. Reminded of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 when he is exhorting the Christians that they are not to be of the world. In other words, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers or have fellowship with righteousness and lawlessness or to commune as light with darkness. And the point that Paul is making here is the fact that we are to be separate from one another. And the thing that separates us from one another is, number one, we're saints. And number two, our character is that it is based upon something that the world does not abide by, that the world, they recognize maybe the Bible is an important book, but they're not really concerned about it. We, on the other hand, live a life that is based upon the relationship of righteousness. And what Paul said there in verse 14 is that this idea of being unequally yoked, and he's not suggesting that we don't go out in the world, because he had said earlier that, well, sort of, he didn't say it exactly, but it says, you know, we can't go live on the moon by ourselves. We've got to be in the world, but we don't need to be like the world. And so we don't need to be yoked with unbelievers, or as people of righteousness, we don't need to be yoked with those who are lawless or light with darkness. He goes on in verse 15 by saying, what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You know, what he's saying is that we're not to have a relationship and a bond to where that there's no difference between the two. Our holy character is to be separate from the world. As he says that you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They should be my people. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, be separate. And if we define our character as the character of a saint and the holy character of the saint, we recognize that it is something that puts us at odds with the world or separates us from the world. So how do we do that? We're going to talk about some passages this month. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 about what we call the Christian graces. We're going to look at a couple of passages that help us define how we're going to do this. How do you live in a world that is so messed up and has already been said? We live in a world that is probably more messed up than I've ever known, and it's just crying up crazy. How do you live in a world today? Well, the way that we live in a world today is that we learn to walk in the way of righteousness. And the principles that we're going to discuss this morning really are not new, because this is going to come from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms. In the very first Psalm, on page 617 of your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along, because again, the thing that's interesting about the holy character of the saint is that it's not something that's new. It's something God has always had. And as God has put the book of Psalms together, and we see how it begins, whether it's just a coincidence or it's the divine will of God, I think it's more divine than coincidence, that God defines what makes a man holy and what makes a man unholy. He's going to talk about righteousness. He's going to talk about ungodliness. But he's going to show, how do you do this? How do you put this all together? Well, let's read Psalm 1. It's not very long. When the writer says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Well, this is about a blessed man. This is about a man who's happy. This is about a man who the Hebrew word denotes happiness. As a matter of fact, one of the ways that you would read this is it would be, "Oh, how very happy is the man." Boom. And you remember Jesus used this model in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the Beatitudes. And so what he's talking about is that true happiness is found in the holy character of a man who is going to follow the admonitions of this passage. Now, the holy character of the saint is really first described in the negative. It's kind of interesting how he's going to approach this. He says, okay, now to understand what the holy character of a saint is going to be, let's talk about the nots. Let's talk about the negatives that are there. And so what he does is that he begins by showing that, well, if you're going to be happy, and if you're going to show that happiness, there's a way that you need to not do it. And so there's really three things. He says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, do not stand in the path of the sinner, and do not sit in the seat of the scornful. And when he says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he says, okay, where are you getting your wisdom from? Your character. We're trying to talk about a holy character. Where do you get your character from? Do not take the wisdom of the world to guide you. You know, in some ways, we just stop right there and say, well, that's the answer to your question. Because if you want to know how to be a holy character or a person of holy character of God, you've got to decide whether you're going to listen to what God says or we're going to just go do whatever the world. He says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Taking the world's advice is going to destroy your character. And that's always been true. History shows that to be true. So in order for us to develop our character, we've got to realize that the character we have must come from the Word of God. So first of all, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Secondly, do not stand in the path of the sinner. It's like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, do not be deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals. You know, if you associate with people and if you have an abiding relationship with people of the world, guess what kind of person you're going to be? A worldly person. Again, I'm not, you know, God's not saying we can't be in the world. We've got to go to work. We've got to live in neighborhoods. That's not the point that he's making. We're talking about interpersonal relationships, is that we're not to take a stand in the path of the sinner. Associating with friends of the world is going to make you a friend of the world, because the people we kind of hang around with, we kind of want to, you know, follow them and be influenced by them. And so a lot of times we miss the point is that it's not, you know, God is not saying not have friends of the world, but they should not be our measure. They should not be our guide. Holy character comes from holy associations. And so we're not going to stand in the paths of the sinners. But number three, it does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, what happens here is a progression. Because now it's not just associating. Now it has come to, he does not join those, you know, we should not join those who would ridicule or despise the Word of God. And the fact that there's a lot of people that are good people, but they have no interest in this book or whatever. They have no interest in the body of Christ. They have no interest in holiness or those kinds of things, because they're living their lives as they may choose to. And so what he's developing here is three important aspects on the negative side about what makes a holy character. Don't do these things. These are the things we ought not to be doing. Don't go walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go standing in the paths of the sinners, and don't have a seat there with the seat of the scornful, because the end of that is not going to work out well. Now, what he does here is he does what is referred to as Hebrew poetry, but it's different. We always think that roses are red, violets are blue, and I love you, and boo-hoo-hoo, and things like that, and we do poetry by, that was the best one I've got, you know. I could quote a little bit of Alice in Wonderland, you know. But we think of rhyme having to do, we think of word rhyme. What the Hebrews like to do was that they like to do thought rhymes, not word rhymes, but thought rhymes. And so what it means is that there are thoughts that are somehow related rather than just words. And notice how the psalmist does this in just this beginning. Because he says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But then he goes on to make the thought rhyme by saying, okay, don't walk, and then don't stand, and then guess what? Don't sit. Do you see the progression? It's a poetry about how we can see a man who's walking, you know, in the around where evil is, and that's okay, I guess, you're walking. But then what happens is he just stands still, and he's not walking, he's standing. But what happens next? He's sitting down. And that's how the holy character of a child of God is changed. Because first you go along with the crowd. Because you're walking probably in the wrong place. You're walking with the wrong people. But what happens first is you're just kind of going along with the crowd. You're not in charge. You're just sort of going along with the crowd. But then what happens is you take a stand with the crowd. Now I'm taking a stand. And finally, you reach a point where sinning is not enough, mockery is added. And so the Hebrewism is that you've got to be careful in how you develop your character. Number one, if you would alleviate the first one, you wouldn't have to worry about the other two. Don't go walk in the counsel of the ungodly. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is trying to say, don't do this. And the simple man who went into the wrong place, into the immoral woman. I mean, it's like a bird being caught into a trap. And so throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, he is trying to say, don't walk, stand, and sit, but just don't even walk, don't even go there. So it's interesting how that the psalmist approaches the character of a blessed man by saying, don't be doing this. And it's important because this has got to be at the forefront because it's so easy to do that. But then he goes on in verse 2 to talk about the positive approach. And so now he has left the obvious and is saying, okay, now that I've done this, let's talk about what we ought to be doing. And so his delight is in the law of the Lord. So here's where we really develop the holy character of the individual, that the source of his joy and happiness is the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. He longs to be with the Word of God. Renewing the holy character of the saint begins with the Word of God. Leave your marker there at Psalm 1 and go 118 Psalms to the right. And that's Psalm 119. It's a big, huge chapter. And it's actually another sort of a poetic thing. It is an acrostic that the writer takes the Hebrew alphabet and he makes little tidbits of each one of the representative alphabets. And so it's a very long psalm. And I just want to pick out a few things that is focused in here, because what happens is that he's going to talk about what is said in Psalm 1. Because in Psalm 1, he says, if you want to really be happy, if you want to really be the kind of person God wants you to be, you have to have a love and a delight for the law of the Lord. So let's just begin, run down to verse 16. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit. But notice how the writer describes this relationship. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. When you delight in something, you delight in it. You like it. Should I say it? I don't know. I delight in coconut cream pies. I haven't said that in a while, Ernie. I mean, it's been a while since I've said that. I do not delight in Brussels sprouts, but I delight in coconut cream pie. And that's not even a close relationship. Do you see what he is saying here is that, you know, I just love to talk to God, and I just love to know his word. I mean, I know sometimes we may find a book, and it's an interesting book, and we say, I just can't put the book down. And We have to develop a perspective that when it comes to the what we today, when it comes to the Bible, it really is an important part of my life that I just enjoy reading its stories. Go down to verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Now, the interesting part about that is that now he's talking about commands and things to do. And so it's not just, you know, there's a lot of stories in the Bible. You know, you can read about the flood. You can read about David and Goliath. You read about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you know, being thrown into. And there's a lot of great stories. But, you know, there's a lot of laws in the book. I think somebody said there's, I don't remember what it is. I started to say 600 or 800. But, you know, you look at the law of Moses, there's a lot of laws, a lot of commandments, a lot of things. But the thing about it is, that a person who delights in the law of the Lord, he says, your testimonies, man, I like that stuff because you tell me how to live. And that is my counselor. That's the thing that helps tell me what I need to do. Look down in verse 35. Here's a prayer. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I want you to tell me what to do. That's like a child coming up to the parent and saying, Mommy, Daddy, can you tell me what to do? That will never happen. Even when they're 33 years old, that won't happen. But we come to God and we say, you know, I love your commandments and I love you. Would you guide me? Would you help me to know what I need to do? Verse 47, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, commandment, you know, I love commandment keeping. Now, the thing about keeping God's commandments is that they're perfect and they're right. Down in verse 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Verse 77, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have then have perished in my affliction. See, it's valuable in that sense too. And then finally, all the way down to 174. Boy, there's a lot of verses in this one. 174. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. What's the conclusion? I just love spending time in the Word of God. I just like seeing what God has got to say to me this day. And when a child of God does not open the Bible on a daily basis, they are preparing themselves for failure. Because Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So one is dependent upon the other. And sometimes when people say that I don't have enough faith, the question is, how much time have you been spending in the Word of God? None. Well, no wonder, because if my faith is dependent upon the Word of God, it's got to be meaning spending time. And the delight turns to meditation, because he says, my delight is in the law of the law of the Lord, and in his law I meditate on it day and night. That doesn't mean the Bible's open. You know, it's not monasticism. It's not that we're going to have the Bible open to. It's just that we think about those things. We spend time in the Word of God and then we chew the cud, if I can say that. We can chew the cud all day long and thinking about what I have examined maybe that morning or something that has been said on Sunday or maybe the Lord's Supper or something has been done is that I meditate. That means to muse or to actually hum or to utter and to speak. And it is kind of like reading something and then you kind of half reading it aloud and you kind of, it's just letting the Word of God permeate my life in every way. In His law, I meditate day and night. Renewing the holy character of the saint begins with spending time in the Bible. And here's just the facts. That if you do not spend time in the Word of God, don't be surprised that you don't have a happy life and that your faith is not what it ought to be. The Bible is not something that is a prosthetic that we just do on Sunday and on Wednesday night. It's something that is my everyday. It's something that I do all the time. It is something that changes my life in every single way. And that's where my faith comes by. And many struggle in their faith because of a lack of knowledge. Renewing the holy character comes from the Word of God. It helps me be a happy person. How do you handle anger? And don't tell me go kicking the dog. That's not legal anymore in 16 states. What do you do to handle anger? How do you deal with temptation? What do you do when you're making a job decision or whatever it may be? How do you find out the answers of what that's going to be? You need to go to the Word of God, because I'm going to tell you unequivocally, without any reservations whatsoever, everything that we face in life could be found in this book in one way or the other. The answers about how we deal with things. For example, if you remember over in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, And this is how we deal with some of the things that we just talked about. You know, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and we realize that these are things that come from the Holy Spirit, but let's wonder about these things when he talks about love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. How do you learn to be a person of love? No, don't get none of the self-help books. The Bible will tell you how to find joy. The Bible will tell you how to find peace. The Bible will tell you how to find long-suffering and kindness, to be good and to faithful and to have gentleness and self-control. That's where the message comes from. It's from the Bible, because if you read the Bible, you'll find out, guess what? People had problems with anger. Yes, people had problems with temptation. David and Bathsheba. Yes, people had problems in their life, and they found the solutions in the Word of God, and they also found forgiveness. Later this month, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 5 through 11, because here are some aspects about how we develop that spirit when we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and all those things. Because if we equip ourselves with this, it's going to make us a better person, and ultimately we're going to be happy, we're going to be blessed, and we're going to be joyful. And so he tells us that his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. But then he goes on to say, the result of that, back in our text of Psalm chapter 1, is in verse 3. We get to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Trees are used often in Scripture to signify righteousness. It was a sign of strength. It was a sign of nobility. And what he says here is that those who delight in the law of the Lord, now, those who spend time in the message, those who are familiar with the book, who have an understanding of the makeup of the book, who read the book and spend time in it, what's going to happen to that person? They're going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of life. In other words, their life is going to be rooted next to a continual sustenance of an abundance of the blessings of God, and because you could just almost say that the river is the Word of God, my life is going to be rooted in the text of the Bible. You know, I'm old enough to remember that there was some of the older people of my young age that used to say, now the Bible says, and they would use it in everyday common occurrences. I mean, they would actually be able to quote scriptures from time to time, and it's kind of funny sometimes when you see some of these old shows, particularly cowboy shows, periodically, these guys are quoting scripture. And I'm like, where'd you get that from? Because we used to be people of the knowledge of the book because it made our lives full and whole. And what he's saying is that we incorporate the Word of God in our lives. We're going to be like a tree that is planted by a river that is constantly getting that nutrients and the source of our vitality. And the result of that is that we're also then going to bear fruit, a life that yields something worthwhile and with meaning. I mean, there's a lot of things that worry people today. I'm going to talk about one of them tonight because it's one of my favorite subjects. People are talking about climate change. I'm going to give the answer to climate change tonight. I mean, we're worried about nuclear proliferation. Big deal. Worried about COVID, big deal. We're worried about life and death. What does it mean? God gives us the answers to all of those things. We don't need to worry about those things because Jesus tells us not to worry. And so all those answers are found there. And so we bring forth our fruit. And then he says in verse 3, whose leaf will not wither. Why will it not wither? Because it's planted next to the river. And even though there may be a drought in the world, this tree is going to always be abundant and have fruits, and its leaf will not wither because it is planted next to an eternal river. It will never, and as long as you keep your roots in the Bible, what goes on in the world is important, but it's not going to change or affect you because you know the answers to things. You know what God says about those things. Adverse conditions do not affect this tree because it is planted by the river. And then the conclusion in verse 3 is, this is the deal. Whatever he does shall prosper. Now, that doesn't mean you're blessed with, you know, all the things of this world or whatever it is, but the holy character of the saint will find satisfaction. They'll find fulfillment and joy and live a lot calmer life. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, don't worry. So we don't worry. We realize where the government and the powers come from, Romans 13. We realize who's in charge of the world, the whole story about Nebuchadnezzar. And you read the Bible, you're finding out all kinds of things. The people in the world are spending money to figure out what it is, and it's right there the whole time. And what that means is that you're going to prosper. The holy character of the saint is going to find it. With this character, the child of God can face everything. And so what he tells us is, okay, the negatives don't do this. The positive is you need to walk in the way of the Lord. You need to delight in his word. And you're going to be like a beautiful tree planted by the river, and you're going to have fruit, and the leaf is not going to whisper. And whatever you do, you're going to prosper. I want to be a prospering person. And that's why I put my faith in the word of God. Well, we got to do another negative. Negative, positive. Now let's get into a reality. Verse 4 and 5. What happens if I don't do that? What happens if I said, I'm just not interested in that? I don't want to do that. I do not want to spend time in God's word. I do not want to accept. I don't want to follow his command. I really got things to do, places to go, and people to see. I just do not want to do that. What's going to happen? Well, here's what's going to happen. What happens to the ungodly is this. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are the ones who look at the Bible and think, whatever. The ungodly are the people that don't really want to spend time even considering God. The ungodly are those people. And what's interesting about the ungodly in this context, we're not talking about, adulterers and murderers. That's not necessarily what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about who's ungodly? The people who are not delighting in the law of the Lord, the people who are not meditating upon his law, the people who are walking in the counsel of the ungodly, the people who are standing in the path of the sinner, and the people that are sitting in the seat of the scornful. Those are the people that are the ungodly. And what's going to happen to their life is just going to be a mess. Well, they may be happy. They may put on airs in the world. They're having a great time, but they're really not deep down happy because they don't have the answers of life and they don't know what's going on. And so they're not going to be able to stand in the judgment. They're not going to be able to have that relationship with God because they do not accept his word. It's the gospel of two all over again. You either accept God and his word or you're ungodly and you live a miserable life here and a miserable life in the one to come. But there's no other choice. And so the psalmist, yes, begins with a negative and then he shows what really makes the holy character of God. But then he reminds people, if you don't accept this, it's not really going to be good for you because it's going to be very unpleasant. Renewing the holy character of the saint is a process that I have to go through and examine my heart. We're trying to encourage others to renew their spirit and renew their holy character before God. But there's a lot of distractions that try to take us away. There's a lot of temptations that the world allures. And we've got to be different. We have got to stand up and be counted different. Because we're different in the principles that God has given us. Because you will either stand against the world or stand along with them. And what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount is that we've got to be different. Is we've got to change our ways. We've got to be different in our lives. That should say Matthew chapter 6 instead of Matthew chapter 7. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, here's the answer. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's really what the psalmist said in Psalm 1. You're either going to be a person of character who's going to follow after the will of God and imbibe in the word of God, or you're not. And we've got to, as Christians, be different in the world. And we've got to show that we're going to be different in the world. Because we've got to stand against the world. And that's how we renew our holy character. So as the lesson comes to a close, we close with what the psalmist said in Psalm 1 and verse 6. The Gospel of 2. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows those who are delighting in his word. And he knows who the ungodly are. And with that knowledge, it has to come to the realization of what we're going to do about this. In whose counsel do I delight? What do I measure my life by? Achieving things in this world or pleasing God? That found in God's word or that provided by the ungodly of this world, we have a choice. We can either be people of the world or we can be holy people of God, living as he would want us to live. In Acts 2 and verse 38, when the people on Pentecost asked Peter and the apostles what they must do, Peter gave them the answer to happiness. Peter gave them the answer to life and death and eternity. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And that's what you have to do to find happiness, because remission of sins doesn't come anywhere else but in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can find true happiness and to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, is to begin where the blood of Christ is. And having done that, then we are to live a holy life as one of God's saints. Why don't you come as together we stand as we sing.